Penguin Random House Audio presents Thank You, Mr. Nixon. Stories by Gish Jen. Read for you by Justin Chen, Catherine Ho, Annie Q, and Eunice Wong.
To the memory of my parents.
千里之行, 始于足下.
A long journey begins with a step. Chinese saying. Thank you, Mr. Nixon. Mr. Richard Nixon, Ninth Ring Road, Pit 1A. Dear Mr. Nixon, I don't know if you will remember me, especially now that I am in heaven and you are in hell. I was one of the little girls you talked to when you came in 1972. Do you remember? Not the one in the famous picture. I was the other one. We were in a park in Hangzhou. That was your other stop besides Beijing and Shanghai. A famous place with a beautiful lake called West Lake. It was February, and you mostly had your hands in your pockets. Maybe your fingers were cold. First, you talked to the girl whose mother was right behind her. Of course, she smiled just the way she was supposed to, and someone took that picture. Then, you talked to a little boy who was dressed in a new coat, but who was actually supposed to be in the background. That's why he did not know which hand to reach out when you wanted to shake hands. Everyone laughed, but some people worried because they did not think you would talk to the boy. That was not the plan. And I was very embarrassed, but you did not seem to notice, just as you did not seem surprised that it just so happened that the two girls you happened to run into in the park were wearing such beautiful coats, so new and perfect, kind of an orange-pink color. Nor were you surprised that, when you asked where my mother was, I said, in the city. Shouldn't you have wondered what I could mean, since we were in Hangzhou, and Hangzhou was a city? In fact, my mother was living in Shanghai then, because she had been assigned to a unit there. But probably, you had no idea people were assigned anywhere. Anyway, my red scarf was a real red scarf. That really was what we wore if we were little red guards, and I really was a little red guard. But that was not my real coat. Actually, my mother had to piece it together out of two other coats. Because she sewed for a factory, though, it came out just as if it were made in a factory. Really, the whole china you saw was a tailor-made china. A Potemkin china, you might say. Not that anyone would have said that then. That is only how we talk in heaven, where we know all kinds of things. For example, we know that today, there still are a lot of things you cannot say in China. But back then, there were even more. And while today you have to guess what you can't say, back then they would just tell you. No one was allowed to shout, "Down with the American imperialists!" to your face. On the radio and on TV too, the phrase "American imperialists" just suddenly disappeared, as if everyone forgot it all at once. Which no one thought was particularly strange. We all knew how to forget, after all. We were good at it. Experts, you might say. And if there was a face we had mastered, it was a stone face, for things changed all the time. One day, Comrade Lin Biao was a hero, for example. The next day, we forgot he was ever there. The streets were cleaned up before you came, with certain slogans removed and new ones put up. The shelves of the stores were filled, and people were made to stay at school and work late so that the streets would not be so crowded. Did you notice how few people there were around? Maybe you thought that was normal, but it was not normal, just like the number of fish in Westlake was not normal. Did you think there were always so many beautiful carp waiting to be fed? Those of us students who were supposed to be background students in the park were told what to understand. What if the American journalists asked things like, "Do you have enough to eat and drink?" Or, do you like America? Our teacher asked us.
Do you understand them?
Of course, that was a stupid question, because anyone who answered yes would not have been picked to be a background student to begin with. But no one said it was stupid. Instead, we promised that even if the translator spoke perfect Mandarin, we would not understand him. We were not supposed to understand anything about a man going to the moon either, which was easy, since most of us did not actually know the American imperialists had put a man on the moon, until we were told we didn't know anything about it. As for whether we were supposed to volunteer, we had gangs of Red Guards breaking into our homes and destroying everything, much less, they took people out into the yard and beat them to death. Or, the young people were sent down into the countryside to be re-educated, but also just try to stop them. They were so out of control. You may guess whether we were supposed to say these things or not. No, we were smart. And having been told to be neither humble nor arrogant, neither cold nor hot, we were exactly that. Though I was so happy in my new coat, it was hard not to be warm with happiness. Indeed, I thought it the most beautiful coat in the world, until I saw your wife's red coat. Can I call her Pat, now that we are all dead? She did not wear her red coat to the park. That was a disappointment. At the park, she wore a fur coat, maybe because it was so cold. But I saw the red coat later, and anyway, we students all knew about the red coat. We had heard about the red coat. It was already a famous coat. Of course, we understood, too, very well, that we did not love it. Though China had become a sea of dark blue and gray and black, with just a little color allowed for us children, for everyone else, a red coat was bourgeois, after all. It was anti-revolutionary. It was corrupt and corrupting. Couldn't we feel its pull? That was because it was venal, imperialist, American. Beautiful. No, we did not love it. We did not think how suitable it was that a beautiful coat came from a country whose name in Chinese literally meant beautiful. China might be Zhongguo, the middle country, but America was Meiguo, the beautiful country. A beautiful country full of beautiful coats. What could that be but evil? The history books say that China opened when you shook hands with Chairman Mao, but I think it began with that coat. Because if on the outside we were neither humble nor arrogant, neither cold nor hot, on the inside we were torn. We loved our country, but it was not red flags we wanted. It was red coats. Thank you, Mr. Nixon, for bringing that coat. Here in heaven, we know much more about your situation than we did back then. It is terrible that people in your country called you Tricky Dick. That is so much more personal than plain capitalist running dog or petty bourgeois individualist. And it is terrible that they made so much fun of you because of your sweat. Is that why you wore makeup when you were in China? Up here in heaven, there is an American interpreter who says he accompanied you on your visit and that he once saw a glob of pancake makeup hanging down from a hair on your nose. Of course, if American people did not like for their leaders to sweat so much, that is something Chinese people can understand. Really, it is just lucky that we are not as sweaty as you. Also, that we do not have hair in our noses. And maybe you knew that pictures were going to be taken of you all day. Historic pictures. And maybe you did not want for your nose to shine for everyone to see forever. So you put on some makeup. From our point of view, that was okay. As for how upset the American people became when they found out not long after your visit that you had asked some people to break into a hotel room and steal some papers, that we did not understand. Certainly, it was not so good. But from the Chinese point of view, it wasn't that bad.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?